This episode is brought to you by Danny the Dark Horse Adams. If you asked a typical McDonald's customer who created the fast food company, they'd probably pick someone called McDonald. It's also a strong probability that they'd respond. Ray Kroc is a well-known sports figure. Kroc may have pushed McDonald's to such a big scale that its modest origins were virtually forgotten. However, the fast food restaurant's two founders were brothers Richard and Maurice McDonald, even if their likenesses aren't engraved into plaques in the restaurant's walls. And while the brothers' lives were filled with prosperity that finally allowed them to buy luxuries such as custom Cadillacs, they were plagued with frustration and disappointment. And because of their business dealings with Ray Kroc, the brothers lost a lot, and their reputation was tarnished for decades. Richard McDonald's grandson, Jason French, recalls his grandfather remarking, "That man truly understood me when he was a teenager." This terrible tale of the McDonald brothers and their fast food craze is told here. For Richard, Dick, and Maurice McDonald, the ancient saying that brilliance is formed out of hardship might be faithful. In the early 1900s, the brothers were born into a poor Irish immigrant household in rural New Hampshire. They witnessed their father suffer later in life. Patrick McDonald, their father, was laid off after 42 years as a shift manager at the 20,000-employee GP Craft Shoe Plant in Manchester. After decades of hard effort, the senior McDonald was informed he was just too old to perform the job, and the boys saw their father lose his career. The boys were obviously affected by the news that their father had been laid off without a pension. They realized that remaining in their New Hampshire hamlet would not lead to a more wealthy existence. Dick McDonald once said, "We made up our minds that we'd be financially independent." Dick and Maurice's father's awful employment condition provided the impetus they needed to go west with little bit more than a set of high school diplomas. A desire to achieve something more significant, they pledged to be billionaires by 50, the opposite of where their father was. The McDonald brothers didn't go to California thinking about burgers and fries. Their burger company arose after their entertainment attempt failed, according to all accounts. The brothers had ambitions to direct and produce films. They obtained jobs at Columbia Movie Studios, performing grunt labor on silent film sets for a weekly wage of just $25. They didn't have much money. It was no more glamorous parts in front of the camera on the horizon. They scraped together what they could and built a movie theater. The brothers purchased the 750-seat Mission Theater 20 miles outside of Los Angeles, renamed it the Beacon, and added a snack bar. The brothers were continually behind on their payments during the Great Depression. The theater's inauguration in 1930 couldn't have come at a worse moment. They hid some silver on their lawn if the bank foreclosed on the Beacon during the hard times. After 7 years, the McDonald brothers decided to call it quits and sold their movie theater before venturing into the food industry. At first, McDonald's wasn't just McDonald's. It was McDonald's Barbecue. The brothers' San Bernardino food stand followed the trend of other period food shops by catering to drivers in their automobiles. For the car hops, the brothers were even able to repurpose uniforms from their defunct movie theater. When the brothers realized that burgers were the best-selling item, they scraped their successful recipe, briefly shut their doors, and resurfaced with some significant alterations. Everything that wasn't popular on the previous 25-item menu, including the barbecue, was removed from the new McDonald's of 1948, as were the 20 female car hops. Customers were required to exit their vehicles and go to the counter to make their orders. The adjustments were unpopular, and the once bustling industry came to a standstill. When customers learned a car hop wouldn't be coming over to collect their order, they would drive away. Even attempts to create a bustling environment by having workers park in front of the store failed to generate much revenue. The McDonald brothers would have been failures again if taxi drivers and construction workers had not eventually began to trickle in after many months. Time has a habit of messing with historical facts, and this is especially true in the case of Maurice and Dick McDonald. The film, the founder and popular perceptions of Ray Kroc, portray him as the visionary who saw fit to expand McDonald's beyond its initial San Bernardino site. However, according to Smithsonian Magazine, the brothers made $100,000 a year not long after redesigning their hamburger stands operations, establishing this quick-serve approach that would make them famous. A second McDonald's debuted in Phoenix in 1953, and then another one appeared in Downey, California. According to the New York Times, the brothers had already over 20 outlets when Kroc came to them in 1954. He helped them turn their burger shop into the worldwide juggernaut it is today. Unfortunately for the McDonald brothers' heritage, they already had a thriving business that is usually forgotten. Even McDonald's today glosses over it. The Golden Arch emblem, which beckons customers for hot fries or a cheap cheeseburger, is now a worldwide known icon. The two Golden Arches were not Dick McDonald's original concept for his restaurant. They were only added after the brothers turned ownership of the company to Kroc in 1961. Diners and roadside eateries at the time were doing all they could to stand out from the crowd and profit from highway billboard advertising. Dick commissioned architect Stanley Meston to create golden arches with neon trim that would rise from the sides of the hamburger stand. McDonald's had an eye-catching design that succeeded until 1962 when it was replaced with the Speedy Chef mascot. The brothers sold the company to Kroc, one of the first Speedy Chefs, followed by a makeover of Dick's cherished golden arch, to reformat the appearance of each restaurant. Design expert Louis Cheskin was employed. The thinking that they might be able to utilize to reduce a Freudian pull for consumers, they were made into the M shape we all know today. Cheskin believed the new emblem was meant for Mother McDonald's press, which was maybe even more devastating for Dick's original Golden Arch design. We're sure that's not what the brothers had in mind. There's little doubt that Ray Kroc had a significant role in turning McDonald's into the fast food juggernaut today. However, in his opinion, the McDonald brothers were essentially unimportant in the history of McDonald's. The most famous example of Kroc seeking to erase the McDonald brothers from McDonald's own history is in his own autobiography, Grinding It Out, The Making of McDonald's, which was published in the 1970s. According to the Sun Journal, Kroc claimed to be the creator of McDonald's in that book, stating that the company began with the first establishment under his name in Des Plaines, Illinois. The arrangement between the McDonald brothers and Ray Kroc in 1961 to sell the rights to their burgeoning firm had a few snags. Kroc wanted to purchase the whole McDonald's franchise and borrow money from various sources to fulfill his brother's $2.7 million asking price. In a 1973 interview with Time, he remarked, "I wanted the McDonald brand and those golden arches. How do you plan to use a name like Kroc?" Kroc was irritated that the contract left his brother's original San Bernardino restaurant. He was enraged that he's been left out of the renowned and lucrative site. He remembered, "I was so enraged that I wanted her to phase through the window. I despised their intestines." The brothers renamed their hamburger restaurant the Big M, since they no longer controlled their own name. Kroc was still bitter about the sale despite the name change and sought retribution by building a new McDonald's a block away. After 6 years, the Big M's grills were switched off, and the brothers sold the facility. "I put them out of business," Kroc would brag about years later. In 1961, selling a hamburger restaurant for $2.7 million was a fantastic bargain, except, as we all know, McDonald's isn't your typical hamburger joint. Ray Kroc's first franchising agreement with the McDonald's brothers included a $950 franchise fee, a 1.9% service charge on food sales, a 0.5% royalty payment to the McDonald brothers, and the remaining 1.4% going to Kroc. By 1960, Kroc had franchised 228 McDonald's restaurants, generating $56 million in yearly revenue. Tongue twister for me right there. The McDonald brothers and Kroc were both affluent, but Kroc became obscenely wealthy when he bought them out for $2.7 million in 1961. After taxes, the brothers estimated they'd each receive $1 million. While it wasn't a small change, their 0.5% or 0.5% ownership in the company would have paid them $15 million each year by the end of 1970s if they hadn't sold it. The royalties are even more terrible by today's standards, particularly for the McDonald brothers' descendants. According to a 2012 estimate, the McDonald brothers' royalty fee would have been $305 million if the 1961 purchase had never occurred, based on McDonald's $61 billion in sales. When the McDonald brothers departed New Hampshire for California in the 1920s, they had high expectations. They didn't want to open a restaurant, but they had grand ambitions. The McDonald brothers' success on the West Coast finally made its way back to New England, but not under their direction. McDonald's spread like wildfire throughout the nation when Ray Kroc was hired as the head honcho for developing new franchisees. Franchise Reality Corporation, Kroc's real estate division founded in 1956, was the fuel that fueled the company's quick expansion. The building was owned by FRC, but the property was leased and both were charged rent. McDonald's number 594 debuted in Manchester, New Hampshire, 3 years after Maurice and Dick handed the company crock after FRC had supported approximately 600 establishments. The fact that it debuted on South Willow Street, only one block from the McDonald Brothers' boyhood home, is an accurate jab in the teeth. When Dick returned to New Hampshire and went to the restaurant, he had to wait in line and pay for his dinner, which had to be excruciating. The McDonald brothers may have founded the company that gave birth to the Big Mac and a slew of other fast food staples. Still, it took them years to gain any accurate recognition. They were mentioned in the press from time to time, but they were barely regarded as founders at McDonald's headquarters. The former restaurant tour braced himself every year as the chain's annual Founders Day event. Supposed to commemorate Kroc came around, and according to the Associated Press, on Dick. McDonald's did not study their own history until 7 years after Kroc's death in 1984, when Maurice and Dick were officially recognized. In 1991, television commercials were shown touting Maurice and Dick as the creators of McDonald's. However, they also acknowledged Kroc. Even though it took McDonald's 30 years to properly acknowledge the McDonald brothers, Fred Turner, the company's senior chairman, maintained that the firm never sought to ignore them and blamed the media for giving Kroc all the credit. Turner said, "This founder's business has become a concern. It's humiliating. Unfortunately, Maurice went away before he received any corporate recognition." After a competitor, McDonald's, drove their restaurant, the Big M, out of business, the McDonald brothers decided to retire from the food industry. There was no longer much need for Dick McDonald to remain in California, so he returned to his native state of New Hampshire. "I've never been fond of California." In 1985, he admitted his guilt. "I've never been fond of the sun. I'd be glad if it was cloudy every day." While Dick finally came to terms with how things had turned out with Ray Kroc and McDonald's, Maurice died of heart failure in 1971. According to Ronald McDonald, the brother's nephew, the impact of their connection with Kroc just wore Maurice down. "Mac took it pretty hard," Ronald said, adding that his uncle Dick once told him that he saw Mac being ripped apart till he died, and I don't want that for myself. Both brothers married and had stepchildren later in life, but neither had their own biological children. Dick McDonald spent the rest of his life in New Hampshire, where he lived in a modest three-bedroom house, hardly the type you would expect from a burger magnate. He left an inheritance worth $1.8 million when he died in 1998. When you consider that Dick McDonald and his brother went into business with Ray Kroc, they lost millions of dollars. Among other things, it's easy to see why he's angry. Interestingly, Dick McDonald was not mad about his fast food company ending. He stated that he never regretted missing out on the money that Kroc gained. In a 1985 Chicago Tribune story, he was characterized as an affable and charming guy who hesitated to criticize his former business partner, although a plaque recognizing Ray Kroc as the creator hung nearby. The fact that the writer didn't hear Dick McDonald raise a single complaint after 3 hours together in the Tribune store indicates his character. In fact, the only time Kroc's name was mentioned was in a positive light. Follow my social media and email me at DannyTheDarkHorseAdams@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.